Chapter 4. Flesh and Iron Unalloyed. It begins with darkness. Darkness above, torn by cracks of light, given a thunderous announcement. Darkness below, thicker, more tangible, ever shifting. His armor is painted in it, the darkness of below somehow blacker than his proud livery. On hands and knees he tries to rise, but is unable. Another blow comes down and there is pain. It wars with anger, disgust, outrage and grief. An emotional kaleidoscope difficult to process, impermeable to cold logic. Wrath prevails instead, hot and welcome. Necessary. Essential to survival. The Son of Iron scrambles, crawling like a wretch between greaves and boots. Iron fingers reach out in a claw, a fistful of blood-soaked earth their reward. He rises to his feet, a firm hand upon his elbow providing needed support. A burr of a chain axe grows loud in his ear. A grieving brother takes the blow, and the hot splash of his final moments strikes the Son of Iron's face like rain. He wavers, drunk on grief, but anguish drives him on. His goal is close, he can see it, not so distant now, though it feels like he has crossed a gulf to get this far. Others close upon it too. Not all are kin, and their butchery is different to what the Son of Iron has in mind. He lashes out, skill forgotten, but rage lending the blow strength enough to break his enemy's guard. The Son of Iron does not wait for the body to fall. Its blood paints him, overlaying the darkness, and that is enough. Instead, he keeps going until he reaches his goal. On hands and knees again. It feels like cheap reverence, and so he pulls forth his knife and begins the cut. A piece has already been removed, but the nipping dog who took it has already fled with his prize. An old adage pierces the overwhelming fog, which parts reluctantly in the face of reason. Sinews part, more akin to cables of metal than flesh. The blood is hot, hot enough to leave a scar. It sears armor meant to be proof against acid. With the last jerk of the knife, the prize comes free. It shimmers, cold to the touch, but not dead. No, something dwells within still. The Son of Iron tries not to succumb to awe, his face reflected back at him. It is bloodstained, harrowed, a wraith that speaks and walks as a man. He flees, falling more than once, a ring of iron brothers, his bulwark, against the hungry pack in his wake. He scrambles upwards. The mound of the dead yields under boot and gauntlet as limbs part or bodies slide. It has grown high, much higher than he remembered. A monument to slaughter. A roar sounds overhead, and the backwash of engines brings with it the reek of oil and blood. A doorway opens, more darkness within, unquiet, screaming, accusatory, promising hollow vengeance. He staggers inside, his burden heavy, but weightless. Hands reach for him. Fingers are missing from some, but their owners lend aid with what they have. Then he falls, and a different kind of darkness takes him. Org awoke, the quietly whirring cogitator next to him a reassuring presence. He consulted a diagnostic via a data screed that scrolled across his left eye. His bionics read as optimal. Blood pressure and heart rates appeared elevated, but had begun to normalize. Adrenaline levels suggested he had recently been in combat, but the Iron Heart's apothecarian had been his cloister for the last 7 hours. The chrono overlaying the inner sclera of his right eye confirmed it.
"Your biochemistry is concerning, brother."
Org opened his eyes, his flesh eyes, as he heard Gorgonson's grating voice.
"I feel strong," said Org,
and knew he looked it too. The apothecary of Clan Lockopt looked pensive, but gave nothing of his inner thoughts away. They were alone in the apothecarian, Gorgonson sitting in front of Org, who reclined on a medislab, his flesh and augmetics linked up to the diagnostic machines. Org sat up and started to remove the wires. His flesh-spare frame barely resisted. The cogitator gave out a terminal whine before Gorgonson silenced it.
"Not much blood,"
he mused aloud.
I lost a lot on Ogreth,
Org replied, a half-smile curling his lip. Gorgonson frowned and glanced down at the data slate in his left hand.
Humour is still intact,
he muttered.
At least the tech priests on Lyax left you with something. That gave me a lot more besides,
said Org, reaching out to touch Gorgonson on the shoulder. His attempt at reassurance failed.
If you're going to tell me that I need not be concerned,
said the apothecary, a dour look upon his grizzled face,
then you will waste your breath. It is my duty to be concerned. Any procedure, however small, that I have no knowledge of is a risk. The fact that your augmentation on Lyax was extensive makes it doubly so.
My restoration, Goran. Magos Dominos Pharmakos saved my life and returned me to the war, to Shadrach's side. What risk is there in that?
Gorgonson was not about to be placated.
I don't know, brother. And that is the issue. There is much that remains secret about the Martian Mechanicum.
Org let him go.
Then use the evidence of your eyes. What do they tell you?
That you are hale and hearty in body.
Org smiled, believing he had made his point, and that would be the end of it. Gorgonson's troubled expression told him otherwise.
But that your mental trauma is yet to be fully accounted for,
he concluded.
Wounds as severe as yours, they leave a mark, scars that go beyond the flesh.
I assure you, Goran, if I need your ministration or counsel, I shall ask for it.
Org looked him in the eye.
I mean that sincerely.
Gorgonson held his gaze, as if measuring Org's words, and finding they held the appropriate weight of truth. He nodded.
Be sure that you do.
He pulled away from the medislab, leaving Org enough room to get up.
I am finished for now, but I want to see you back here after the council.
He went to attend to his equipment, sighing at its patchwork nature and the level of disrepair.
It's a miracle I can heal anything with this,
he chuntered to himself.
At least we have plenty of hacksaws.
Are you this diligent with all your patients, Goran?
Gorgonson gave Org a sideways look.
Only those I like,
he replied. Org smirked.
You don't like any of them.
Gorgonson frowned as he considered his answer. Then, shrugging, he said,
true.
Org's laughter echoed all the way from the Apothecarian to the Iron Hearts Bridge. They were running dark, the ship as benighted as the void. Medjuson stood on the command dais, slightly elevated above the rest of the bridge, ringed by an atoll of sparsely manned servitor pits and bare-bones crew stations. Apart from the dull glow of instrumentation and the ambient light of distant stars coming through the large, curved viewport at the bridge's prow-facing aspect, the only other illumination issued from the four hololiths Medjuson consulted. Each was a cone of hazy green light, projected from an array built into the forward half of the dais. Medjuson stood in the middle, facing an arc of Iron Hands officers in simulated form. His arms were by his sides, fists tightly balled. He was late. A failure in the plasma drives, unforeseen. Rectifiable, but not without incurring delay. The engines had been set to full burn, a risk on account of their magnified heat signature, but Medjuson had clawed back a few days. Not enough, it seemed.
We cannot linger,
said the ghost of Nardul Norsen. Even via the imperfect capture of the hololith array, the Iron Father of Atraxi had a stern disposition. His mouth was a pursed thin line, his eyes perpetually narrowed, one of them irrevocably bloodshot. A partially flayed scalp, fraught with scarring, betrayed his battle history. Tufts of wiry hair stuck up from a pallid, shaven skull. He had not even set foot on Istvan V, but bore the wounds of that battle nonetheless. Even the escape, the atmospheric engagement that had unfolded once the truth of Horus's betrayal had been revealed, had been a massacre. Few ever spoke of that fight, though, despite the thousands who had died.
3 days you have had us here,
Rask Arkborn of Felg agreed. The freighter's left ocular bionic constantly flared and refocused, the outward signs of dysfunction impossible to mask. His bionic arm lay across his chest, the elbow bent as if held by an invisible sling. Every few seconds, one of the fingers twitched, an involuntary misfire of the nerve-augmetic receptor interface.
3 days,
said Kuleg Rort of Clan Rorkan, the emphasis unnecessary.
3 days for the Sons of Horus to find us and kill us. They will be hunting after what we did on Hamart, out for blood.
Next to the others, Rort looked almost unscathed, possessing no obvious bionics. Beneath his armour was another matter, though. He had one hand on a long hafted power axe, its ferrule resting against the deck, though that was lost in the haze of the dissolving hololithic feed which ended at Rort's greaves. He also wore the Eye of Vigilance on his breastplate, a dubious honour, justly given and now rightly besmirched. An eye, the eye, encircled by a cog, signified that Rort had once fought beside Horus. Now it served as a potent reminder of his vow to kill the War Master and deface the medal with the Primarch's treacherous blood.
"Well, I'm surprised there is any left in your veins, Iron Father,"
snapped Medusen, instantly regretting both his tone and his words. The hololith of Rort flickered angrily, as if echoing the mood of the Iron Father.
"And some believe your blood is overly hot, Medusen. You will address him as war leader," snarled Lumak.
He stood behind Medusen's left shoulder, a hulking, glowering presence, utterly unapologetic. Rort's gaze, and the gazes of the other Iron Fathers who had taken the reins from their former clan fathers, slain during the massacre at Oakweth, turned on the Averni captain. Medusen braced himself for the coming tirade, silently cursing Lumak and wondering if it was too late to simply push him from an airlock. No point, he realized. He would probably take up argument with the stars instead and incur the wrath of the void itself. To Medusen's profound surprise, Rort did not react, at least not with remonstration or rebuke. He acquiesced.
"Apologies, war leader,"
he said, his gaze lingering on Lumak before he looked back at Medusen.
"I think I speak for all here present when I say the last few weeks have been fraught. After Oakweth, caution is only logical."
"And natural," thought Medusen, realizing logic was half the issue. The other two Iron Fathers nodded their assent.
"I understand your concerns, Freitas. This is the largest gathering of Iron Hands and allied assets since..."
He paused, reluctant to commit to the name.
"Istvan,"
said the fourth figure, his voice distorted and distant. A jerking, crackling wraith, plagued by a weak signal.
"The largest gathering since Istvan."
Medusen turned to the hololith and nodded.
"Yes, Freitas Kernag. Since Istvan. But it is vital we meet," Medusen asserted. "And so I ask for forbearance, and 2 more days.
The hololiths nodded as one, Kernags dispersing to static as the unstable signal failed. The others lingered only a little longer, long enough for Rort to say,
2 days, war leader, or we shall have no choice but to abandon this place and reconvene at another."
The hololith dissolved, plunging Medusen into darkness. He heard the incredulous frown in Lumak's voice.
"Can we reach the rendezvous in 2 days?
Medusen was already stalking from the bridge.
"We must. They have picked up where the clan fathers left off,"
said Medusen, his irritation focused on the middle distance. The heady atmosphere of the Iron Heart's Engenarium lay thick like an oily shroud. Far from peaceful, the great plasma drives thrummed with barely restrained power and gave the air an actinic tang. Org could barely feel it, his physical senses inured to such stimulation. His mechanical senses performed a detailed analysis that was consigned to the subconscious.
"Don't mistake their caution for disapproval,"
he said, attempting counsel, his eyes on a diagnostic readout from the main drive array. It glowed in the smoke-dark light and cast the Iron Father's shadow. Other shadows lurked in the darkness too, toiling menials and servitors, without whose blood and sacrifice the Iron Heart could not function. Engine efficiency concerned Medjuson, though, not the poor wretches doomed to exist in the ship's deepest holds. Having altered the balance of various onboard systems, Org allowed himself a self-indulgent smile as the plasma drives went from sub-optimal to near-optimal, an overall performance gain of 23%. Not easy, and it had diverted him from other important tasks, but it was done.
"And you now have your 2 days," he announced triumphantly.
Medjuson nodded, pleased, and clapped Org on the shoulder.
"Fine work, Jibbers. It is one less thing for the other freighters to bemoan."
"Indeed,"
replied Org, his tone mockingly sober.
"For it would not do for a war leader to be tardy."
Medjuson raised an eyebrow as he frowned.
"Don't make me regret asking for your help, Jibbers," he said, but with good humour.
"I am your humble servant," said Org, bowing. "Besides, you saved me the tedium of having to go all the way to the bridge when you accosted me at the very door."
Despite himself, Medjuson laughed.
"I meant to apologise, Jibbers," he said, "for my earlier behaviour."
Org looked nonplussed, setting down the data slate.
"To what are you referring, Shadrach?"
"I know what I mean."
Org gave a slow nod, feigning sudden understanding as if recalling a memory he had since dismissed as unimportant. Medjuson saw through it.
"It wounded you to be spoken to in such a manner," he said. "It was unworthy of me and you."
"Your burdens are singular, Shadrach," said Org,
a small sad smile on his pallid lips.
"In many ways, I gave them to you. But you are not alone. As hand-elect, I can be more than just inspiration."
Medjuson considered that, and considered what else Org might be saying.
"You think me rash to want to attack the flotilla."
"It is,"
Org weighed his words,
"bold."
"And you believe the other freighters will think so too?"
"I believe they will need convincing."
Medjuson gave a rueful snort.
"And hence my dilemma. They should not have to be convinced. As war leader, my word is an order. If it is to mean anything, then that order must be followed, and not just by those who agree with it or can see its value."
"I meant no slight," said Org quickly, raising his hand. "I only think it would be wise to consider the task before you."
Medjuson turned, venting an exasperated breath. He took 3 paces forwards before turning back.
"We have been here before, Jibbers, ruling by clan council."
"Ruling?"
asked Org, his frown suggesting a deeper concern at the word.
"Leadership,"
Medjuson corrected himself, curt, agitated.
"Is my meaning not clear?"
"Ah,"
Org began.
"I am hesitant to reply for fear of annoying you further. And what clan council? It is gone, slain in a single blow."
"Oh, they gather much like one and speak as one,"
said Medjuson, his anger only rising. "It is a yoke I must break if we are to move forward."
"And where would you have us move to, Shadrach?"
"To Terra. To Horus. To something more than this scurrying around in the shadows, this piracy."
"You would challenge the War Master?" "That is more than boldness, Shadrach. It smacks of hubris."
"And why not? What is our purpose if it is not to reinforce the throne world or kill the one who slew our father? Vengeance or duty, I will take either at this point."
"It was Fulgrim who struck the blow," said Org. "Would you kill him too?"
"Yes,"
said Medjuson without hesitation.
"I refuse to believe our only options are to die in glory or live to see obsolescence."
"It is not glory I seek, Jibbers. It is purpose, meaning. Our father did not forge us to be scavengers."
Org bowed his head a little, an attempt at contrition.
"I fear I have done the opposite of what I intended, Shadrach. I only meant to say the Iron Fathers will be recalcitrant, and that you should prepare for their resistance."
Medjuson sighed, irritated again that he had allowed the conversation to deteriorate as it had.
"I have disaffected him," he thought. "I'm sorry, Jibbers. I am fatigued, that is all."
"Perhaps you should see Goran."
I will,
Medjuson replied, swiftly dismissing Org's concerns. I had hoped this would be easier.
Without the Clan Fathers,
Org guessed. Medjuson gave a reluctant nod. I would not have willed it this way, but yes. I harboured hopes we could speak with one voice, act with one fist.
Your voice. Your fist.
Medjuson shook his head, resigned. I can see no other way.
Then know I shall help you see it done.
Org held out his hand, and after a second's hesitation, the two locked forearms in the manner of warriors.
One voice, one fist, said Medjuson.
As one,
echoed Org. Nero Vaughan had died long ago. An early casualty of the war, the world had been bombed almost out of existence, its population reduced to ash and dust. Its peoples had not resisted the War Master. They'd barely known the galaxy had ripped in two, with the Emperor's once noble sons fighting and killing each other for the spoils. Horus had made an example of them, as he had many worlds. Nero Vaughan had been amongst the first, a statement of intent, an act of reckless, needless, and senseless spite that turned a thriving agri-planet into a desiccated hecatomb. No one set foot upon its tainted soil anymore. The destroyers had seen to that. It possessed nothing of worth, save the grim reminder of the War Master's casual wrath. Enough poison freighted its atmosphere to burn Ceramite. Most vessels gave it a wide berth. A fleet lingered still, clinging to the edges of Nerevorn's fading gravity well, too large to submit and be dragged to the surface, too weak to drift off into the fathomless void. A graveyard, its ghosts the unquiet spirits of the tens of thousands of crew entombed within its ships. One of those vessels, a cruiser of considerable size, called the Ardentine, drifted more or less intact. Several rents in the hull, the subsequent venting of essential air, and the fatal failure of life-preserving systems formed the narrative of its demise. Its death had been short, perfunctory, and without glory. Its crew's attempts to cling to life had not succeeded. But then the crew of the Ardentine, hardy folk as they once were, had not hailed from Medusa. The Iron Hands had chosen and secured the ship swiftly. The blighted atmosphere of Nero Vaughan, the perfect baffle against inquisitive sensoria or long-range augurs. An old flight deck, its vessels futilely spent and having long since crashed earthwards or spiralled voidwards, could easily accommodate a significant gathering of officers and their retinues. An auditorium of sorts was raised. Light, albeit sparse and flickering with unreliable power, flared anew. It cast long shadows over the serried occupants. They had come covertly, answering a heavily coded summons. A heightened prey instinct pervaded, and their arrival was staggered. Vulnerability was not a word readily employed in the Medusan tongue, but in recent times its use and meaning had become familiar. Gunships, landers, lighters, vessels of many designations had ferried their precious cargoes to the Ardentine, only to take flight almost as soon as they had arrived, haring back to larger craft lying in wait at the edge of the system, in the radiation pulse of Nerevorn's dying sun, or in the many volatile nebulas that blinded sensoria both within and without, scattered across the void, shattered across their once formidable ranks. Precautions had become mandatory. The sustained victories of Shadrach Medjuson were thought a brief reprieve at best, and at worst deluding tactics fraught with false security that led only to extinction. Yet they had gathered, according to the war leader's desire, revenants haunting a ghost ship. And they glowered like cold and unquiet spirits, jealous of the living and eager to share their pain. Last to arrive, Medjuson knew he had missed something as soon as he alighted from the gunship's ramp with his council and hand elect. The glances of the Iron Fathers, however guarded, revealed much. Several months it had taken to bring this conclave about. Several months of clandestine messages, dead drops, false communications, and compartmentalized orders. Not just to his own battle group, but to any and all battlegroups that knew the Vox frequencies and the codes. They might be shattered, these sons of lost and fallen Primarchs, disparate in culture and tactical creed, but they shared a common language of sorts. It was one of survival. The necessary rigour of it all fell harshly on the faces of the Iron Fathers, captains, subalterns, and other battle leaders arrayed for Medjuson's pleasure. Fatigue plagued some. For others, weariness had a different root cause. A few were not truly present at all, having chosen to attend this council via hololithic interface. These attendees shimmered incorporeally, like true ghosts amongst the assembly. All appeared expectant. "My brothers," Medjuson began, hiding his annoyance at the discussions that had clearly taken place in his absence. He noticed that Rort and the Iron Fathers he had spoken to 2 days ago aboard the Iron Heart had banded together, a silent cohort of disapproval, trying to be their slain clan fathers. Others, the line officers, captains and lieutenants in the main, and some veteran sergeants, appeared less closed off, but all were waiting for the war leader to disprove the arguments made against him in his absence. Medjuson did not dispute free speech, far from it, but he wanted a fair hearing. He chose, as with so many supposed impasses, to tackle the matter head-on. "I apologize for my lateness, and I have no doubt words have been exchanged here without me to hear them." His voice echoed in the temporarily restored atmosphere of the ship, carrying across the night-dark flight deck with ease. A partial ring of his accusers, or so it seemed, waited before him. They stood in ranks, their retinues close by and armed. Suspicion would kill Medjuson's endeavour as quickly as any enemy. "And I shall hear them," he vowed, his gimlet gaze falling upon Rort in particular. "But allow me first to say my piece." Silence held briefly, somehow undercutting the lonely and ragged banners suspended from the vaulted ceiling. Each portrayed the faded glory of Nerevorn, the association with the ship's present occupants grimly ironic.
"None shall gainsay you, war leader," said Rort. "But speak quickly, for every second we labour endangers us further.
I recall a time, not so long past, when the Iron Tenth were not so fearful," Medjuson replied, his teeth already at the throat of his detractors.
"Tread carefully,"
Org warned, his voice a whisper across the vox. Medjuson ignored him, his eyes on Rort, though it was the Iron Father of Atraxi who responded.
"You mistake fear for prudence," said Norsen. "Perhaps you do the same with courage and arrogance," he added coldly.
Norsen had come with a cohort of helmed immortals, whose breacher shields, while at rest, still acted as a bulwark around him. Allowing himself a rueful smile, Medjuson gave a slight shake of the head, but refused to be baited.
"Then let us cut to the meat of it, shall we?" he said, his words very deliberately chosen. "We are winning."
He looked around, challenging every gaze, be it organic or bionic. "Allow that to sink in.
Victories, brothers. Do you remember the taste of them?"
"I do."
"And I remember the bitter ash of abject and humiliating defeat, of the massacre perpetuated against our kith and kin," he said, his voice rising in volume. "We were humbled, broken. There can be no other words to describe it. But we endured. We lived and then we fought."
He began to pace, looking up and down the gathered warriors, meeting the gaze of each and every one, speaking to them as one legionary to another.
"It served for a while,"
he admitted, nodding as if he were gauging the worth of that service in his memory.
"But the war has reduced us. Could any here deny that we are less than we used to be? Not as individuals," he added, forestalling a vehement denial from a few officers, "but as a brotherhood. As 3 brotherhoods."
Here he regarded the small cadre of Salamanders and Raven Guard present. They made up less than a tenth of the Iron Hand's fighting strength.
"It offends me,"
he said through gritted teeth, and then gestured to the warrior throng.
"It should offend you also. I feel a deep and abiding resentment for our position. I can no longer tolerate it. We have raided them, we have murdered them, we have stolen from them, and still, here we are."
He gestured expansively with his arms, encompassing the entire gathering.
"Look at us. Look at yourselves," he said,
and some did, for deep down they knew of what Medjuson spoke.
"Hiding in the dead wrecks of old ships, too afraid to show our strength for fear of attention. Let them see it. Let them come."
An old line captain spoke up. His name was Arkel Theld.
"You speak of alloying the Legion, War Leader," he said,
an augmetic in place of his right eye flaring briefly in the half-dark. He gripped a sheathed sword to his breast with a bionic arm. Scars Theld had in abundance, but not so belief.
"I find that rash beyond countenance."
Medjuson sighed, and his head went down for a moment, but he soon rallied and raised his chin defiantly.
"Suffering has ever been the Medjuson way. Hells, it has been the meat and drink of every Medjuson, Nocturnian, and pale-skinned son of deliverance since the galaxy first drew breath. And we have suffered. Perhaps it is beyond our ability to withstand."
He smiled ruefully and looked Theld in the eye.
"Perhaps, yes. I want to make us a legion again. All of us. It is not without risk, and it will not happen immediately. I merely suggest a first forward step."
He had their attention now, and so he went on.
"We have fought in the shadows long enough. No more shall we hide like beaten dogs, wary of those who impose themselves as our masters and destroyers. Sons of the Gorgon do not lurk in shadows."
The declaration provoked heartened affirmations from some. Captains and lieutenants, even some Iron Fathers, beat their plastrons with their fists or nodded in vigorous, fervent agreement. Theld gave a near imperceptible nod. The Raven Guard, Dalkoth, kept his own counsel, and if he felt any chagrin at the War Leader's words, he was wise or disciplined enough not to show it. The Drake, Neuros, was less circumspect. His teeth clenched at the deliberate exiling of any non-Iron Hands amongst the ranks, biting back his hot tongue.
"Then what do you propose, Medjuson?"
asked a bald-headed Iron Father Medjuson did not recognize at first. Despite his ostensible youth, his hooded eyes carried experience, and something darker.
"I suggest you adopt the proper tone, Freighter,"
uttered Lumac dangerously.
"He is your War Leader."
The Iron Father sneered.
"Not mine, brother, though it seems the ragged remnants of the Averni clan speak in his stead."
Now Medjuson knew him, or rather the clawed sigil of his clan he wore upon his armour, and the War Leader put up a hand to ward off Lumac's caustic rejoinder. A side glance at the captain stayed his blade too.
"Iron Father Ortek Mor,"
said Medjuson, earning Mor a few dark looks from the rest of the gathering.
"I know you by reputation, not by eye. But it is you, isn't it?"
Mor gave a slow, curt nod.
"I had no inkling I was famous."
"Infamous,"
growled one Iron Captain, who Mor eyed with murderous contempt.
"He has spilled 10th Legion blood,"
spat another, as the mood of comradeship Medjuson had worked hard to foster grew fractious.
"I shall not deny it,"
said Mor, and Medjuson almost felt the cruelty and disdain radiating from him.
"I have duelled my brothers and killed them in the name of honour. Pride is not a sin only reserved for me."
Mor had tattooed his flesh, an unusual affectation in the Iron Tenth. Dark angular shapes further deepened his eyes, and jagged lines of pseudo-circuitry ran from pursed lips, growing thicker and more uniform at his temples. An adamantium hood framed his bare scalp, and the cataphracty pattern warplate cladding his frame growled restively.
"I also heard he took his warship into the jaws of battle at Istvan,"
said Org, who stepped forwards alongside his War Leader.
"Trying to reach our stricken father."
"Aye," replied Mor, favouring Org with a brief glance. "A futile gesture that cost Clan Morrigal much blood and iron. I've regretted it ever since."
Angry murmurs rippled through the crowd at this remark, reminding Medjuson that Moore's unlooked-for appearance must not become a sideshow. Mercifully, no blades had been drawn. "I asked a question, War Leader," said Moore. He and his Dua retinue stood slightly apart from the rest, like outcasts.
"Let me teach this curse some manners,"
muttered Lumak, glaring at the impudent Iron Father in their midst. Medjuson ignored him. Indulging Lumak's pugnacity now would undo the entire endeavour.
"My proposition, Freighter, is to take the fight to Horus and the traitors who beheaded our legion."
He half-turned to Mikosa, who cast a hololith orb onto the deck. It chimed metallically as it struck the floor, adhering magnetically. The sound echoed for a few seconds before the orb began emitting a grainy cone of light.
"Found in the debris left at Hamart 3,
Medjuson explained. Not all of the summoned officers, Moore included, had been present at the sacking of the supply camps, but they knew what they saw before them. A screed of data played out from the hololith, reams and reams of tactical information, maps and schematics.
"Those are ship lanes," said Borgus, a lieutenant of Clan Vergan, known by the icon of the lightning-struck mountain encircled by a cog emblazoned on his armour.
"Patrols? Supply routes?
An enemy flotilla,"
declared Medjuson, as the star charts changed into familiar schematics of warships.
"A large one,"
offered a captain called Jacus, as each vessel resolved and then faded before the onlookers.
"And there for the taking,"
said Medjuson, vehement and assured.
"How current is this data screed?"
asked Borgus.
"Data stamps indicate it is recent,"
said Medjuson.
"No time to change their plans, then,"
said Jacus.
"I doubt they even know the information is compromised yet," added Medjuson.
He let his gaze linger on Rort, Norsen, Arkborn, and Kernag, thinking they would finally break their silence. Medjuson was right.
"An attack on that scale would require a significant muster,"
said Arkborn.
"And would unnecessarily call attention to our strength and numbers,"
added Norsen.
"It puts us at great risk, lest we forget the folly of Oquith."
Medjuson had to grit his teeth, recalling the calamity inadvertently orchestrated by their now dead clan fathers.
"Precisely why change is needed," he said.
"And you are the one to drive this change, are you, War Leader?"
asked Rort.
"If not I, then whom? We are in desperate need of singular leadership."
Rort frowned, his features creasing in confusion.
"We have it. This council of Iron Fathers shall interpret the will of the Gorgon." "This is his will,"
snapped Medjuson, not regretting his outburst for a moment.
"To fight, to kill our enemies. Have you not heeded the reports? Ultramar attacked, Kalf fallen, as well as dozens of the 500 worlds.
I have even heard word from our allies that Beta Garmon, the gateway to the Sol system, has come under heavy assault. Horus and his allies are taking the fight to us. He challenges the throne of Terra itself. It is not rebellion, Freitas. It is conquest he seeks. For years we have listened, we have hidden, but now we must act. Destroying this flotilla weakens the War Master's position. Moreover, it tells him the Iron Hands are not a spent force. We must rejoin the war as a legion."
"Ah, so your goal is a lofty one," replied Rort.
And Medjuson knew then that this was what had been discussed in his absence, and that he had played into the freighter's hands.
"An empty throne sits before you, and your ambition is to fill it. Not just a legion,"
he said, gesturing slowly to the War Leader.
"Your legion. All hail Shadrach Medjuson."
"You speak out of turn, Freighter,"
warned Org, before Lumak did. Medjuson waved them both down.
"I would not want such a burden," he said to Rort. "I have never wanted it. But if we do not act, then we diminish. Our ire grows cold, and we let the murder of our father remain unchallenged. I would not have it so."
Support for the War Leader rippled through the ranks. Several outspoken captains, the younger and perhaps more rebellious in demeanour, declared for Medjuson at once. A few drew swords in martial affirmation. Ortek Moore gave a chuckle of dark amusement, seeming alone in his ability to derive mirth from the solemn occasion.
"We are stronger united,"
Medjuson told the four Iron Fathers, who seemed most opposed to his will.
"Unity is derived from common purpose. These ships,
He gestured to the crackling, grainy hololith. This flotilla of our sworn enemy is such a purpose, and we must grasp it. He held up his bionic hand for emphasis and made a fist. A rousing cry went up, phlegmatic and ardent. Boots stomped against the deck, raising a clamour. Blades were shaken, chests beaten with gauntleted fists. The ghost ship resounded to the sound of warriors eager for war. Medjuson's gaze never left the four Iron Fathers. They looked back, as cold and impassive as their black armour. Rort nodded. So did the others. As the roar grew louder, Medjuson nodded too. First battle won.
This attack is just the beginning, declared Medjuson.
Back aboard their gunship, and headed for the Iron Heart, five legionaries sat on grav benches as close as conspirators. After the furore aboard the derelict Ardentine, plans had been set in place for the disposition of forces. Even though he knew not how many ships and warriors were at his disposal, Medjuson had already determined the best course of attack, and he would disseminate that information once he was back at his strategium.
I fear you will need more than victory to reforge the legions, Shadrach, said Org, across from Medjuson and facing him. You will need the Iron Fathers. All of them.
They will accede, Medjuson replied, his mind already on the assault plan. And assuming you are remed as one, said Neuros, what then for the outsiders?
Neuros, said Medjuson, turning to grasp the salamander's shoulder and meeting his serious gaze.
You and your kin are no outsiders. The Legion will accept you as brothers, as I have.
He looked across the hold to where a sixth legionary sat alone, half his alabaster face in shadow. Medjuson's earlier words returned to him. He released Neuros and did not do Dalkoth further disservice by trying to explain. The shuddering hold grew quiet, but for the drone of engines and the rattling of metal. A pensive silence filled the ship, uneasy and at odds with past camaraderie.
I have already oathed my sword to your cause, said Dalkoth, in that harsh, half-spoken way he had. It remains oathed.
He looked over at Medjuson, and his black eyes glittered like pieces of flint. Makosa clapped his gauntleted hand on Medjuson's shoulder.
Until death, you are the war leader.
Lumak nodded.
A first step, said Org. One voice, one fist.
All eyes then went to Neuros, who looked around the others in turn. He laughed, leaning back against the shaking wall of the hold, and folded his massive arms.
Are you waiting for me to chime in, brothers?
He said, eyes narrowed as he wet his lips. Makosa sighed at the needless but amusing theatrics.
No need, war leader, said Neuros with a toothy smile. You had me at killer enemies.